Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Engage Employee Engagement Examples of Excellence podcast. In today's episode, we meet Rochelle Feigen, Jess Holt, and Cesar Fabian Garcia. Cesar is the Executive Director, Global Communications at Merck Manufacturing Division. Merck is known as MSD outside the US and Canada, with responsibility for the company's worldwide manufacturing communications across a global network of sites for pharmaceuticals, vaccines, biologics, and animal health products. Jess is a Principal Behavioural Science Consultant with several years of experience in behavioural science and consulting, and a PhD in cognitive psychology from the University of Leeds. Rochelle is the Managing Director of 41 in North America and has more than 25 years of expertise in global pharmaceutical, IT and financial industries, with a special focus on corporate foundations and non-profit organisations.
Hi, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of our listeners today to the podcast. We have a very important topic to discuss, the business of motivation. So let's dig in. We talk to our clients about motivation all the time, but we don't often delve into the intricacies of what drives employees. Our team conducted research on the business of motivation to answer the question, what motivates the workforce in 2024, and what can organizations do to increase motivation and increase employee productivity? Jess, can you start by telling us a little bit about this research, who it was with, and what we were looking at?
Yes. So we conducted the research with around 2,600 employees across the UK and the US in large organizations, so organizations with over sort of 1,000 employees. And so firstly, we wanted to understand how motivated do people feel today in the workplace, and specifically what motivates people to do a good job. And then secondly, we also wanted to explore the impact that motivation can have on businesses as well. So why does it even matter? And also, what ways can organizations support and drive that motivation at work?
And what did we find from that research?
Well, a lot really. So firstly, we found that motivation at work really does matter. So as part of the research, we measured a range of employee and business related performance indicators. So we measured levels of employee stress, happiness at work, commitment, as well as the extent to which employees think about leaving the business. So as an indicator of churn. And we found that for employees with high levels of motivation, these indicators performed much better. So employees reported being happier, they were less stressed, they were more committed, and they were also more likely to report going above and beyond in their roles. So we really provided the business case that motivation is important. Secondly, we also found that there were different forms of motivation in the workplace. So both extrinsic and intrinsic motivation, and both of them do drive positive effects. So intrinsic motivation is something that comes from within. It's when we feel motivated because we inherently enjoy sort of the work that we're doing and we really value it. Whereas extrinsic motivation refers to motivation which is sort of driven by things in our environment. So it's things such as the sort of recognition and praise from other people, so something we call social motivation, or it might be the financial or sort of material benefits that we receive for doing a good job. And so we found that both intrinsic and extrinsic motivation had really sort of positive results on those business and employee outcomes. So they both are important. And then in the research, we also dig a little bit deeper to understand the most dominant forms of motivation at work. So in other words, what is it that is really motivating people to do a good job? And interestingly, we found that the most dominant form of motivation today is a form of extrinsic motivation, and it's something we call identity motivation. And identity motivation is where people feel motivated because the role that they do is important for their sense of identity, and it's important for how they want to be seen by other people. So they put effort into their jobs because it's good for their sort of self-esteem. So it does really suggest that work roles are a really sort of important part of who we are. And surprisingly, we also found that motivation from financial benefits and sort of those material benefits actually had the least impact on people's motivation to do a good job. So the research did suggest that, you know, what is motivating people today seems to be quite a bit more than just money and benefits.
Interesting. Cesar, does that resonate with you? What do you find motivates employees?
Well, I think from my perspective, I think it's human nature to get a sense of a meaning both in your professional and your personal life. I think they are both influenced by each other. For me personally, I think what motivates employees and people in general is a sense of purpose, so very much aligned to what was just said. I think finding something that is worth doing, something that you can commit substantial portion of your life and have deep reasons to pursue it. I think basically a destination. If you have a vision for the direction of your life and your job is serving that purpose, then I think instantly your job becomes very motivating. I think that knowing that what you do is important beyond yourself is very, very powerful. For us here and for me in the company is very clear. Our purpose is to save and improve lives around the world. So for me, it doesn't get more powerful than that.
We identified various motivational archetypes in our research. Could you talk us through those a bit, Jess?
Yes. So we defined four archetypes based on that balance of intrinsic and extrinsic motivation that employees reported. So the first two archetypes are what we call thrivers and castaways. So they are at opposite ends of the spectrum, really. So thrivers made up just under 50% of the sample, and they reported having high levels of both types of motivation. So they felt motivated by the enjoyment of their job and the meaning and the value that they get from the work, as well as those external or extrinsic motivators as well. And then on the other hand, the castaways had low levels of both. So these are people that are likely to be, you know, pretty disengaged, and perhaps probably even a little bit lonely in their organizations as well. And then we also saw that some employees had unbalanced levels of intrinsic and extrinsic motivation. So we called these groups the unsustainables and the idealists. And unsustainables were the groups which were motivated predominantly by the extrinsic sources. So by the financial rewards, by the material rewards, by that social recognition, and not necessarily by the sort of enjoyment or meaning that they get from their work. So, you know, we know from previous research that high levels of extrinsic motivation on its own can actually be a little bit detrimental. It can lead to burnout. It can lead to high levels of stress. So whilst it is motivating in the short term, unsustainables do present a bit of a risk for businesses in the long term. And then looking at the idealists, they were sort of the opposite direction. So they were motivated predominantly by intrinsic sources. So they're doing their job because they love it. They really enjoy it. They're getting meaning and value, but that's what's motivating them more so than any of these sort of extrinsic aspects. And while there is some support that, you know, well, there's quite a lot of support really, that intrinsic motivation is great for persistence and lower levels of burnout, we think that these groups might actually present a bit of a risk for businesses when thinking about this in the long term and thinking about long-term commitment, you know, particularly when employees no longer find any enjoyment or meaning in their work, because there might be times when that could happen. You know, it might be times when there are, you know, the significant changes in the business, you know, when the going gets a little bit tough, or you know, when working conditions change slightly. So ideally, what we're looking for and what we believe is sort of the best case is to have this balanced level of intrinsic and extrinsic motivation, what we see in the thriver group. And we think that's, you know, a good place to be in terms of sort of minimizing the long-term risks for businesses and also employees as well.
Just talked a little bit about some of the archetypes that pose a risk to business. What do you think is the biggest risk, Cesar?
I mean, I think from my perspective, in the context of these archetypes in this matrix, I think the biggest risk is not to have a plan in place to move employees to thrivers or a plan at all. I think that happens in some instances and that you have to have a plan. But I think for the lower sections of the matrix, it results in low levels of commitment, productivity, and a lot of turnover. As Jessica mentioned, I think those are some of the biggest challenges that you'll see. I think also in terms of operational effectiveness and efficiency, I think if you don't have it, the employees don't believe in the destination and don't trust the leadership, it's hard to move forward in any direction of the matrix. However, I think for sustainables are also a risk, as this burnout can help or lead to people leaving the company, or you can't finish your job, or you're not around. And if you're not around, you can't help the company. So I agree with Jessica that a lot of these different risks are present. I think, again, not having a plan in place to identify, move people towards the right box in the matrix is critical, and ensuring that the line managers have the competency and skills and capability to identify those folks and put a plan in place that can do that hopefully sooner rather than later and help the long term of the company, I think is critical. Those are, from my perspective within this matrix, some of the biggest challenges.
Jess, in the research, did you identify any strategies that can increase motivation?
Yes. So we found a range of levers. We call them motivation levers, which organizations can use. So we found that things, the quality of things such as internal communications, manager interactions, learning and development opportunities, all of these levers are important for motivation. We found that in the data, it showed that when employees perceived these to be of high quality, we saw greater levels of motivation. So it suggests that, you know, also when we look at things like organizational purpose and the values that organizations have, again, that is another lever that can increase motivation when employees really believe that is clear and that leaders are genuinely committed to it. The data there showed that you know, that those employees were more motivated. So the good news is that all of these different levers, there's internal comms, manager interactions, purpose and values, L&D, all of these are things that all organizations do have in their toolkit to use. So it's definitely not something that's out of reach. And also in the research, we looked at the three foundational human needs that need to be satisfied in order to see motivation. This is based on, you might be familiar with self-determination theory. So we also looked at those three basic human needs and the extent to which they were also being sort of satisfied in the workplace. And the data, you know, supported that and showed that we do need to do three things. We need to make sure we're respecting people's autonomy. So that means we need to provide people with a sense of choice and a sense of sort of agency in what they do. We also need to provide employees with the tools to succeed and the also the opportunities to grow and learn. And then the third piece of that is that we really need to make sure that people feel a sense of belonging in their organization. So they need to feel like they have an important part to play, and that they are really valued. And, you know, we do know that if we can satisfy these three basic needs, then that will improve motivation. There's a lot of research around that as well. And we've got the levers, the motivational levers that all organizations have access to really, you know, dial those things up. So yes, there's quite a nuanced view in the report in terms of, you know, what organizations can pull on. But I think every organization is going to be slightly different. So there isn't sort of a one size fits all for this.
Great. Cesar, can you talk a little bit about some of those levers and how you've applied them in communications in the various companies you've worked with? Maybe we can start with the line managers. How do you collaborate with line managers and enhance engagement with employees? And what initiatives or practices have you implemented to strengthen that connection?
Right. Thank you. I think for the line managers, you have to clearly define expectations based on the role they play, whether they're individual leader, whether a team leader or a senior leader. I think regardless of their role, you have to provide the right tools in the environment to be effective. I think sometimes when employees are unmotivated, it may not necessarily be them. It may be the situation they're in. Maybe they don't belong in the culture or feel unseen, or they don't believe in the destination or the product or the service of the company. This is where the line managers play a critical role. It's not just about clarity about the strategy or the goal. I truly believe that line managers should take the time to better understand their team situation and then take the necessary steps to inspire them. I think going back to the human nature is about the connection. Also, as line managers, you have to understand that you can't motivate the unmotivated. This is where you have to make a decision to maybe put employees in a better situation or go in a different direction. So I think those are important. For your second question, I think from a company perspective, there are many programs available. You know, you have from leadership skills, maybe some self-reflection tools, leadership development journeys, and all sorts of other tools. However, one practice that I found very powerful is an exercise where you ask your direct reports not to only create their own business development plan, but also incorporate a life plan. This goes back to my earlier comment about the interconnectivity of one's career and personal life. I think being effective in your personal life could yield more effectiveness at work. So if you have a vision of the direction of your life and your job is serving that purpose, then instantly your job becomes more motivating.
Yeah, fascinating. I love it. Let's talk a little bit about purpose and values. So, you know, when a company has a diverse workforce with administrative, finance, engineering, supply chain, all of those, how do you ensure employees feel connected to the company's purpose and values?
I think throughout my career, I've worked in different industries, experienced different organizational cultures. And I believe you can't force employees to feel connected to the company's purpose and values. I think it's the company's purpose and values that attract people to a company, and it's certainly a big factor in their decision to join the company. So for those who are already in the company, if you're able to clearly articulate how what they do contributes to the company's success in the and the value they generate from their specific role, I think you are heading in the right direction. I think it's the sum of the parts that makes the success.
Yeah, that makes sense. And how do you balance the information that you need to provide employees on their day-to-day tasks, but still reinforce that broader organizational mission?
I think if line managers are successful at having their teams asking themselves, is what I'm doing right now aligned with our goals? And is it helping us to get closer to our destination? I think that's a good start. So basically, our day-to-day tasks should always be aligned with our company's mission. I think in addition to that, in communications to the teams, you should strive that balance of the day-to-day and the organizational mission. So I believe if there's no sense of purpose, repetitive tasks become less meaningful over time. But if the destination is clear, the sense of purpose will be there for the day-to-day and for the long term.
Yeah, sounds good. From a communication standpoint, we talked a little bit about having a diverse workforce. And in a manufacturing environment specifically, you have both office-based wired staff and non-wired employees, some of whom are on the shop floors of manufacturing sites. So how do you ensure that both types of employees get the right information at the right time?
Well, I think that's the million-dollar question, right? I think it comes down to understanding your audience, their environment, and their motivations. More practically, it also depends on how sophisticated your information flow system operates. Normally, office-based staff has access to, I would say, most channels. And the challenge here becomes information overflow. Too much information flowing their way. I think this makes critical information to get to them get lost in the noise. So reducing the noise and asking yourself, does this audience, do they really need to know this information? I think it's key. On the other hand, for the non-wired people, you have to ask yourself, do we have the proper communication channels to reach them when sometimes technology is not as effective? So how do you make sure you understand those components are critical?
100%. And yeah, balance is certainly key. All right. Well, I'm going to switch gears a little bit and talk about motivation in times of change. Many pharmaceutical organizations regularly go through change. Jess, can you talk a little bit about, motivation at times of change?
Yes. So some of our data looked at this, and it suggests that perceptions of how well organizations communicate and manage change is actually important for motivation. So, for instance, we found that motivation levels were higher when employees felt that they were sort of consulted about the changes, when the reasons for change were well explained, and also when people felt well equipped during times of change so they could continue their sort of, day-to-day roles effectively. So it was, the way in which change is communicated and handled, our data suggests that it is likely to have an influence on employee motivation in the workplace.
Cesar, how do you use communications and motivation to manage change.
I agree with Jessica's comment. I also think that having a solid change management communication plan in place, it's a non-negotiable. I think sometimes companies manage change management and communications separately or as separate efforts. In my case, we always try to manage them together in partnership with the operations. I think that consistency is one of the most important aspects for successful change, especially in a transition. When you hear different stories from the leaders and becomes inconsistent, I think that's where you start to get into trouble. That for me comes in the form of the destination and the story we're telling as an organization. It has to be clear. It has to be understood. How this change will bring a positive outcome, how it will get us closer to our purpose, and again, to the role that each employee plays in the success of this transition, I think those are some of the key drivers for the change.
Yeah, and you talked a little bit about some things that can get you in trouble. When you think about some of the watchouts for employee motivation, I mean, drawing from your experience, Cesar, working with, you know, Fortune 500 companies, what pitfalls or challenges have you seen or that might hinder employee motivation? Are there common mistakes we can avoid?
I think, as I mentioned earlier, I think having a plan is one of the critical aspects. I think having a plan not only on how to motivate people, how to identify where people are not motivated is critical. It's also, as I mentioned earlier, is the line managers. I think those are the ones that really can either make or break people's motivations. I think we have heard a lot about people leave managers, not companies, most of the time. So I think if we, as leadership and as line manager, you are able to really commit, to really put effort behind identifying this, not just motivation, but it's inspiring people within your team. If you're able to inspire them and really connect with what they're doing and really bring their own values, really bring their own experiences and motivations together in the same direction, I think that is the true formula to bring some of these challenges down. However, those companies, managers, and employees who don't have that sense of motivation and don't have their even the personal and work life aligned, I think that's always going to be a challenge. And the companies need to make some of these decisions after, of course, exploring all the different options that they have, whether that increasing the purpose of value, more internal communications, better interactions with their manager, or even providing a better working experience for the employee. If all of that fails, again, there's only, I think, so much you can do to motivate people or the unmotivated.
Definitely agree with that. This has been so interesting. I just wanted to throw out there, if either of you have any final thoughts you'd like to share with our listeners about the importance of motivation in the workplace and communications in general, Jess, maybe you can go first.
Yeah, I mean, we all know intuitively that motivation is really important, but I think it's just important to understand that motivation isn't this sort of nebulous concept, and it's something that can actually be measured and you know, more deeply understood by businesses. And I think there's a really real opportunity to do that. And behavioral science is you know, and psychology, you know, provides us with ways to measure it, ways to understand it, and also start to think about, you know, what are the right strategies to improve it as well. So hopefully the report will provide a little bit more insight into that as well, if listeners are interested.
Sounds good. Cesar, how about you?
I mean, I think I would like to reinforce some of the comments I mentioned earlier. I really would like to emphasize again that what motivates employees and people in general is a sense of purpose. Motivation cannot exist without a sense of purpose some of the times. So I think finding something that it's worth doing, something that you would commit a substantial proportion of your life and have deep reasons to pursue it, I think that's really what the conversation should be about. Not just what the money, you know, what just the service, but really having that internal conversation as employee, as manager, as a company, I think it helps create that destination. If you have a vision for the direction of your life and your job, it's really serving that purpose, as I believe in my particular case is, then I think that instantly your job becomes motivated. So knowing that what you do has a greater impact beyond yourself, beyond your community in some instances, or an impact to the world, I think that is the powerful thing. I think once you're able to achieve that, then motivation kicks in. I think you can't just create out of thin air before all those raw materials, if you will.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much to both of you for taking time out of your busy schedules to be here with us today. We learned so much and hopefully piqued the interest of our listeners who will want to learn more. If that sounds like you, please visit us at 41.com to learn more about the business of motivation, download the full report, and contact us to see how we can partner with you to improve employee motivation in your organization. Thanks again.